Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, as we're talking about Jesus this morning, the new way of life we have in Christ. A new way of life in Christ. As we're continuing on our series now, thinking about biblical change, thinking about changing and growing, and thinking more and more about becoming like Jesus Christ, God's will for us as His people, and how we do that, and what our part in the process is, and what God does in our life, what God wants us to do, all of those different kind of things. Today we come to another absolutely critical thing for our understanding today, and how to please God, and how to change and grow. And I hope and trust that as we look into Hebrews 10, we'll understand a little bit better today about God's call in our lives and how to live that out. Hebrews 10. Let's go ahead and read it. We're going to read Hebrews 10, 1 through 25 together, and then we'll look into it a little deeper. So let's read it together first of all. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they continually offer year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifices and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes the first away that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, said the Lord, I will put my law into their heart and their mind I will write them. But then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. A new way, a new and living way of life in Christ. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, we again thank you for passages like Hebrews 10 that help us understand Jesus and your redemptive purpose and plan more fully. And Lord God, we pray as we look into your word today, God, one, that we would learn you and learn of you and know you more, but God, that this knowing you would become an action in our lives, God, that we would see your will and then, God, get on board with what you're doing. God, we would be obedient children. So, God, I pray for us that this message would become personal in every one of our lives. That, God, you would give us an openness of heart that only you can do. And that, God, you would help us as we seek to know you and please you, God, and certainly to make good application from our time this morning. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A new way of life in Christ. As you think about the Bible, and maybe you even think about all discussions you've had with people, maybe discussions that turn into arguments. Arguments are always bad, right? They can be, right? But not always. Sometimes it's just a discussion, one opinion over another. Have you ever heard things like, well, wait a minute here, the God of the Old Testament is mean and stern, and the God of the New Testament, oh, look out, he's all grace. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you've even thought that. You know, the Old Testament, God seems very, you know, strict and stern, and we have the law and all those things. And then the New Testament, so then, wait a minute, has God changed? Even the writer of Hebrews calls life in Christ a new and living way. Think about that today. First of all, we think about and look at what the writer of Hebrews gives us as the old way of relating to God. In the Old Testament, God gave, in the Old Testament, he even changed it, but in the Old Testament sacrificial system, what we're talking about this morning, God had a specific way for people to relate to him. They had to relate to him exactly the way that he told them to. Verses 1 through 4 of our text here give us a little bit of an example of that without going back to the Old Testament and digging it up. The law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices. So he's talking about the sacrificial system there, which they offered year by year and continually. They would they not have ceased to have been offered? The worshipers once purified would have no more consciousness of sins. But again, he says, in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. And so again, he's laying out for us and telling us sort of the purpose of why God had us relate to him in that way, and people relate to him in that particular way through the sacrificial system, as you saw in there, the priestly ministry and the high priestly ministry, the temple, the Old Testament temple and the tabernacle, and all those very specific. And if you go back into the Old Testament and look sometime, just read the sections on when God gave the Israelites the tabernacle or when he gave them the temple. There are lines and lines and chapters of this is how you will do it. It's not a suggestion. It's not, you know, you probably should make the temple pretty nice and you probably should put this or that there. No, he says, you do it this way. This has to be just so. This has to be made this way, down to the every dimension and every material, and even God telling them who he wanted to do, the different things that he wanted made in his temple. So we have God relating to people through the law of Moses, the sacrificial system with the priests, the temple, the tabernacle, and the writer of Hebrews tells us that those were a shadow of the good things to come. And so those are pointing us forward. They're pointing us ultimately to Christ. It's in a picture for us to understand God in a different way, pointing us towards things that Christ would fulfill. Now, as you noticed in the text, there was a problem with the things that were a shadow, right? They didn't get the job fully done. Even the law and the Old Testament sacrificial system were kind of like a Band-Aid, right? There was never a complete remission of sins. The sins were never completely taken away. They had to keep doing it year after year. Now, it was God's Band-Aid, right? It was the right thing to do at the time because God had told them to do it. But God had a richer, fuller plan that he was going to fulfill in Jesus. And so we can understand then that these Old Testament way, the law and the Mosaic way of relating to God was not the full revelation of how God was going to relate to people. Priestly ministry of intercession is mentioned here, and people couldn't in that day directly go to God. They had to go to the priest, and then the priest had to go, and the high priest had to go in only him once per year into the Holy of Holies. So the people did not have a direct line to God like his people do today. And think about even just that a little bit with me, because this all illustrates something that we really need to get this morning. Think about the high priest going, and maybe you've studied it, maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't, it doesn't matter. What the high priest would do every year, they had the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, basically, the children of Israel were confessing all of their sins for the year before, and especially the sins that they hadn't considered. Because they knew, they realized, look, there's things that we're going to do, and we're not going to remember them, and we don't want this sin hanging over our head. And so God made a way for even those sins to be forgiven. the high priest would go in, and that's what he's talking about here, once per year to the Holy of Holies, and he would offer the sacrifice. Now, guess what the high priest had to do? He had to offer sacrifices for himself first. And when he went in, they would tie a rope around him. They would have bells on him so that if the bell stopped ringing, it meant he went in wrong into the presence of God and he died. God killed him. So they would have to pull the guy out. The point of all that is, you don't just go to God anyway. And at this time specifically, they could only go into the presence of God. Only one person could do it, only one time a year, and only in a certain way. And so, as you look at all of these things, think about the camp in the Old Testament. Why did God lay out the camp of the Israelites His way? Well, the tabernacle is in the center, then the Levites and the priests, then the rest of the people. Why did the temple have so many layers of separation and thick curtains and all of that? And why was the veil between the holy and the holiest of holies? Only the high priest could go in the holiest of holies. There was a tangible separation from God. There was a physical, tangible separation. You knew, if you were an Israelite, you knew God is holy, God is just. You saw Him doing things. You knew that God would not take just anybody, and He would not certainly take sin in His presence. So all of those things, the way that God related to us in the Old Testament, really were emphasizing God's justice, His judgment, and His holiness. God is God. Right? He is not just any old person that we relate to any old way. Well, the Old Testament system helps us understand that and very much emphasize that. But now Jesus came along, and the writer of Hebrews says, and gave us a new and living way through His blood. Think about that. A new and living way. And in the very next part of this, 5 through 9, therefore, when He came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Now look at this next part. Overemphasizing it again, but previously saying, sacrifice and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Isn't that interesting? How come God didn't have pleasure in the sacrifices that were offered according to His own law? It's because there was a richer, fuller fulfillment in those things, right? It wasn't the ultimate answer. It was God's Band-Aid. It was the way that God was relating to people at that time. And He was working out His redemptive purpose in the world. It would take, by His will, long time to reveal that to mankind. And so in Jesus, we can start to see, now wait a minute, that wasn't the ultimate answer. We don't relate to God through the law. We don't relate to God through the blood sacrifices and all those things. All that is a covering, and it's a shadow pointing forward to this ultimate new and living way. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He says He takes away the first that He may establish the second. And so we have this new sacrificial system. Verses 10 through 12, talking about Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice. He came and died on the cross of Calvary. He paid for your sins. The new and living way is that Jesus fulfilled, did away with all of those old ways that we relate to God when He came. He came and made a new and living way for us. Verse 18, if you want to turn ahead, just a glorious verse. Because He says, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. See, Jesus paid it all. He paid once for all. And so He gave us this new and living way to relate to God, a new law, which is the law of God's grace, verses 16 and 17, a new priestly ministry. That's us. You are a priest of God today. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 2:9. We have a new high priest, that is Jesus. When Jesus died, the temple veil was literally torn in half. And just think about how amazing that is, this big, massive, and thick curtain. And it just ripped in two, showing us that the way into the holiest of holies is now open. It's now open in Christ. It's open for everyone to come in and relate to God personally. He is our new high priest. We have access to the mercy seat. We can pray. We can talk to God anytime that we want to. We don't have to set a certain person apart that we have to go to them and then they go to God for us. Jesus has made this new and living way. Peter tells us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And can you imagine being an Israelite and hearing those words? I mean, think about it. You're used to God being in the middle of the camp and no one could go near him. And then the Levites were separating you from God. And then the rest of the people were out there sort of on the fringe. And Peter says, no, listen to me, brothers and sisters. In Christ, you are a royal priesthood. Wow. That's life changing. That's a new and living way. We have a new temple. The temple is your body. You yourself, if you're a believer, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are his temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and you are not your own? The church is called the temple of God, also in that same book, and even in Hebrews 10:25, you can see that a little bit where the church has become the temple of God. Corporately together, God is among us. He is in our presence. We are the temple of God. So here's the point that we need to get as we think about this passage. And as we spend, hopefully we'll spend a lot more time here just thinking through these things practically so that we can make good application today. In the Old Testament, and especially in the law and the sacrificial system and all of those things, God is emphasizing his judgment, his justice, and his holiness. In Christ, in the New Testament, God is emphasizing his mercy, his grace, his patience, his kindness. He's emphasizing to us that he wants a personal relationship with us. He's emphasizing all of those things about his character that we also need to know. God is the one that changes our hearts, right? Verses 17 through 18, I will put a new heart on them. God is going to ultimately take care of the problem once for all in Jesus Christ, and he did that. All of these things. So we have these two things that are going on there. Now, what is the challenge for us today, I believe, is the challenge for every person in life. And what we see happen way too often in the world is the God of the Old Testament is gone. You know, Nietzsche said God is dead, right? Is the God of the Old Testament dead in the church today? Man, it seems like it a lot of times, you know that? Jesus said, I have not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Do you get that? You know, we need to live in light of both of these revelations of God. God has not ceased to be a holy and just and righteous God, has he? Right? Amen, right, church? Amen, he hasn't. And so we need to, what the writer of Hebrews wants us to see here, is that we need to relate to God now through this new and living way. We need to relate to God the way that he wants us to. The Old Testament didn't get erased. We still even have it in our Bible, right? It didn't get erased. It got fulfilled in Jesus. And so we relate to Jesus, to God through Jesus Christ in this new and living way. God's plan is fully revealed. Turn with me to John 1 as we think about this. And as we certainly try to really, I want us to really think about some good applications for today. This is really critical on changing and growing. We got to get this stuff to really be able to really move forward in a good way and please God. Here's what John says about Jesus Christ in his epistle, John 1, gospel, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay, now notice the words that he uses there. Full of grace and truth. Is that not significant? Jesus came full of grace and truth. Now, there's two ways that we can miss it. One is we're going to be all about grace. All right? And by the way, both of these are wrong, and both of them, even the presuppositions, I believe, are very wrong. You say, well, I'm going to be all about grace, therefore, so there's where the wrong part is, therefore, I can just do whatever I want to do. It's the grace of God, so I'm just going to live for myself and just do whatever I want to do. God doesn't care. It's the grace of God. He's going to forgive me, right? That's an easy way to blow it, because we would be overemphasizing and thinking about only grace. The other way to blow it, though, is equally as damaging in your life. And that is to be all about, I'm going to call it being all about truth, although that's not really accurate. Maybe we would say to be all about the law. That might be more accurate. And to say, oh man, you know, I can't please God and I'm a wretch and I'm doing all these things and I sin all the time. And then as a result of that, then I'm going to try harder and I'm going to work harder and I'm going to do this and that. Sacrifice and offering, you had no pleasure. Right? You see that? And so we work hard and we try to be better and we try to do these things. We try to keep these lists of what we think surely God would accept me. And what are we emphasizing there? We're emphasizing God's holiness and his justice and all of that, we think. But we're forgetting something. Grace. And guess what you're going to be if you do that? Discouraged. Beat down. Run over. Right? And if you try to live this life apart from the grace of God, you are going to be bummed out. Amen? This life is hard enough to live. That's why God is such a gracious God. And so Jesus came, though, full of grace and truth. And we think about even the truth of like the cross. And we look at the cross, and how could you look at the cross and see the Creator of the world dying and his precious blood pouring out on the ground and say that God is not still a just and holy and righteous God who requires a terrible penalty for sin? Can you not see the justice and judgment of God on the cross? Of course we can. Wow. But brothers and sisters, can we not see the grace of God in the cross? And that it is God himself there. That's your blood that should have been spilt. That's your punishment. That's your penalty that he took for you gladly for the joy that was set before him. Man, can you not see the grace of God in the cross? And we need to, as God's people, not forget either part of the character of our great God. And so we understand, you know what? Yeah, I'm sinful and yeah, I sin. But when I do, there is infinite grace there and I run back to the cross and I beg him for forgiveness and he grants it every time, right? And that's part of the struggle, I think, that we see. It's so easy for us. We have such an easy tendency to emphasize one or the other and forget the new and living way that our God has made us to relate to him. Why do we have trouble changing? There's a lot of reasons. But maybe it's one of those in your life. Maybe you've had a tendency to still try to work your way to him. And maybe sacrifice and offerings you think will somehow please him. And maybe somehow you're working really hard. Maybe you're just trying a lot harder this year. And maybe your resolution, your New Year's resolution list is twice as big as last year that you failed at. And you think, man, I'm going to please God through that. He must be pleased. He has to be pleased in my efforts. Or maybe you're on the other side and you're saying, well, it's just the grace of God. I'll just do whatever I want to. And I'm really glad that Jesus died on the cross because now I can really be a good idolater. Just as easy to fail in that, isn't it? Where God wants us to relate to him in a new and living way. There's a lot of good applications that he gives us in here to do that. But the main one, there's just a couple here that I'd like to help us to think about. There's a lot of them. If you look at, I think it's like 25 through 31 or 20 through 31, he gives us some specific applications. And we're not really going to talk about those today. Because I want us just to keep this as laser accurate as we can this week for just thinking differently, okay? Thinking differently and letting the grace of God work in your life. You know, even that, even like we say, okay, I understand that I'm a sinner, I need grace. Okay, go and repent and ask for forgiveness. Even that's the grace of God. That's God working in your life. We have these two applications then. I think that'll be really good for us to think about. Live in light of both grace and truth. That's what it means to be in Christ, quite honestly. Living in grace and truth. Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth. Don't forget either one of those in your life. You need grace, God gives it. You are who you are, He understands that. He wants you to change, and He's working within you to do that. Live in light of grace and truth. Remember who God is. Here's the two applications for you. Remember who God is, remember who you are, and remember that God is at work within you. I love that passage there. Let's just go back there again. Let's just go back to Hebrews 10, 17, 16 through 17, and then 18 is included in there. Notice this here. This is the New Living Way, by the way. This is a summary of it. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds. I will write them. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sins. So remember that. Don't let yourself get overwhelmed by your own inability to do what God wants you to do. Don't live there. If you live in that sort of place where you're forgetting about who it is that works in you, what God has done, all of that, you're just going to be discouraged. But at the same time, don't forget that you have a responsibility to live for Him. You have a responsibility, and that's our second application for today, and that is obey God or trust Him. Notice how many times in here He talks about trusting God in here. And I want us to think about this morning just a little bit. It's easy for us to say, man, I believe God. I mean, I believe everything that He says. My faith is right there. But then we find ourselves saying, but, you know, I just don't really want to do what He says. There's really a couple of aspects of faith that I think are critical for us in life. And one is, faith is taking God at His word. So when He says something to us, we trust Him. We believe Him. No matter how hard it is, no matter what gets thrown at us, no matter what, we trust Him. And by the way, we face some pretty tough things in this life, don't we? I mean, let's just be honest. It can be pretty rough sometimes. And we add to that. You know, we can even make it hard for ourselves or for other people. Well, trust God. He is the great King. That's one part of the essence of faith. Did you know another part of the essence of faith is faithfulness? Doing what God says. It's obedience. That's really our only part in this whole thing. God has done everything. He's given us a new heart. He's written His law on our hearts. He's provided the Spirit. He's given us the power to change. He's given us His word completely. He's given us the church. He's given us things and gifts to use. He's given us people in the church to help us. He's done all of these things. That's in this passage here. Our part then is to obey Him. Notice some of these words here. You say, wait a minute here. You're just telling me I got to do stuff. All right, well, let's see what it says here. Enter, verse 19. Draw near, verse 22. Hold fast, verse 23. Stir up, verse 24. Not forsaking, exhorting, verse 25. Sounds like we have something to do, doesn't it? Right? We have a part. Our part, and it takes action on our part. Our part in the whole process of change is in this new and living way is now drawing near, relating to God the way that He wants us to, obeying Him. When God tells us something, we don't want to forget this is the God who in the Old Testament is emphasized as the great King, holy, perfect, righteous, just. He is the God that until He revealed Himself fully in Jesus Christ, He wanted us to understand that He is other. He is not just like any old guy that you go and have coffee with. This is our God. He is Almighty God. And He has told us how to relate to Him. He wants to be obeyed. He commands us things to do. He gives us the power to do them. He's provided everything. He just wants you to do it. Our two applications for today Remember who God is. Remember He works in you. Remember the grace of God. Remember that He forgives 100% of the time. Remember that He already paid your penalty, dying on Calvary for you. Remember that the grace of God is infinite. Remember the mercy and the faithfulness of God. And remember that you have a responsibility to live for Him. This new and living way in Christ. So let's get busy growing. Amen? A new and living way. It's a wonderful way. Can you imagine, just as we kind of close out here, as we read the book of Hebrews, and certainly here in this passage, can you imagine what it would have been like to have read that as an Israelite? I mean, there you live with a constant reminder every day of how sinful you are and how other God is. All the blood, and even just the smell of all the blood sacrifices and the nastiness of it, and just continual reminder. It says in Hebrews 10, continually and year after year, and you can just imagine the weight of that, and then the separation from God, and then Christ comes and that veil is torn in two, and there you are, and all of a sudden the lights come on. Man, this is what God was doing. It's all about His holiness and His grace. It's all about truth, about who we are and who God is, but it's also about that God, who He is a forgiving God and a gracious God, and He wants His people to run to Him. He wants His people to yield to Him and to live for Him and to love Him and to enjoy Him. He wants us to have that open relationship now with Him, where that veil is torn out of the way, and now we have this God who is our Father, who loves us as dear children. Jesus made a new and living way. And the good news is you can be restored to Him forever. Forever. Once there's no longer a need for sacrifices. Isn't that glorious? Forever. We can be freed to serve Him. Freed to live for Him. That's what true freedom is. True freedom is not throwing off any restriction or any commandment or anything like that. Because Jesus didn't say that the law is done away with. He said the commandments are this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see that? But now in Christ, we're freed to live those out and to live for Him and to please Him. And so for us today, let's do that. Let's orient ourselves. Let's live in a way that is pleasing to our God. Let's live in light of the gospel. Let's remember every day that our God has already paid our penalty. And our part is just to run to Him. Our part is obedience, to listen to Him, to learn from Him, and to love one another the way that He commands us to do. Let's do that. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, we again just thank You for this passage. God, certainly we could have talked a lot more about the grace and truth that is in Christ and, God, Your call in our lives. And God, as we trust, Lord, You'll give us opportunity to continue to help one another and sharpen one another as if You're pleased to tarry. God, just pray for Your continued strength today to be doers of Your word. God, not to forget either side, not to fall into either ditch, God, to forget how amazingly gracious You are, or God, to forget just how amazingly holy and perfect You are, but God, to live in the freeing light of the new and living way that Jesus Christ has made. God, just pray that You'd help us as a church as we seek to encourage one another and as we can seek to, God, stir one another up, to sharpen one another, God, to love on one another, and God, just to relate the way that You want us to as brothers and sisters in Christ. Just help us in that endeavor, God. And Lord, we pray that as each one of our individual lives become more and more yielded to Your work, that our church, God, would be a place that is a sweet place to be because You are glorified greatly. And that, God, our relationships in the body would be continually the ones that You want for us, God. And that, God, we would be a people that are just a mirror, God, of grace and truth. And that, God, our community would be impacted as we live out these things that you're continuing to teach us. God, all these things we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ.